The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 106.5.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody out there in Radio Land. I am George Williams. I'm your host. And I'm so glad to be back here on a real nice Tuesday night. Folks, a lot has been happening, and we're still waiting for the election in Georgia regarding the two runoff for the U.S. Senate seats. We're anxiously waiting. We have people all over from different states into Georgia, knocking on doors and canvassing and just trying to see if we can get our Republican senators elected, reelected, okay? So that's very important. But tonight, folks, I'm just going to be talking, giving you all my points of view on this whole situation. It's not just the election. It's a conglomerate of different issues that I feel I should bring up and give you my opinion. Okay, but before I do that, Dick Morris, you know, we play him just about on every show, and he comes up with a wealth of information regarding different topics. And when I had my old show, Your Point of View, we played them every week. So we're going to start off with Dick Morris.
We're winning the battle for public opinion. John McLaughlin's latest poll shows that 46% of the American people, regardless of party, believe that there was serious fraud in this election. That's up from 30% right after Election Day. It's very important how the events of the post-election period in 2020 are written up by history. Now, Richard Nixon once said that history is written by liberals, so there's that concern. But if there's a broad public consensus that there was fraud in this election, and that seems to be emerging, 18% of Biden voters say that there was significant fraud, and independents believe by 46-41 that there was fraud. If the public believes that, it will go a long way toward motivating reforms in the future and preventing this from happening again. And it might significantly impact how Georgia authorities handle the runoff in the Senate elections in Georgia, on which the fate of the majority in the Senate depends. If, on the other hand, the public dismisses this as just sour grapes and puts it in the category of questions about who killed Vince Foster and stuff like that, then we've lost a big, big fight. And Trump will have great difficulty coming back, and we'll have great difficulty cleaning up the system. Unless we win this battle for public opinion to convince people of the truth, which is that this election was basically stolen, we're going to face this every year, and we'll never win another election. So please circulate this video, get your friends to sign up and subscribe to my website so they can get my stuff in the future, so they can hear the truth through this maze of lies that's being thrown at people.
All right, folks, that was Dick Morris. And let me tell you, I know Dick Morris. I've spoken to him quite a few times. And if his background is unbelievable. He is the person who ran President Clinton's election when he was a governor, twice when he was a governor of Arkansas. He also was the head of President Clinton's campaign when he ran for president, and he was Clinton's number one advisor, his best friend at that time. But after the situation with the young lady under the desk, Dick kind of said, "That's it. That's enough," and he left the Clintons, and it was mainly because in addition to that, Monica Lewinsky, it was other things with Hillary Clinton, and they had a falling out. And then some years later, he came over to the Republican Party, and he's been very active, very, 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 very accurate, folks, okay? This is a man you can believe, and it's unbelievable, that statement that he just made. If this election this corruption is not resolved, then we as a party, Republicans, we will never win another election, okay? It has to stop, and somehow or another, the courts must get involved with all of this fraud. And to me, in my opinion, the number one issue and the number one up on the totem pole that precipitated this fraud is the mail-in ballots. The mail-in ballots, folks. And look at Georgia. We're talking about Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona. And I made this statement before. I know somebody in Mobile whose father passed away 3 months before the November 3rd election. About a month prior to November 3rd, his mother, and they live in Georgia, okay, she received a ballot. She did not request it. She received it for not only for herself, but for her husband too. And the disturbing part about this whole situation is that she filled it out for her husband, who had been dead for 4 months. Okay? This is what happened. This is why this election was so full of fraud. Okay? And then, I was born in Mobile. I left when I was 10, and my family moved to Paterson, New Jersey. Every year in New Jersey, we had to go to the polls, all right? Well, for this election, November 3rd, there were no polls. There were no polling station. They had to vote by mail. They had to vote by mail, okay, in New Jersey. Now, you know what happened. When I was in New Jersey, it was a red state. A red state, okay? So what happened in New Jersey? And I'll give you another example. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, Governor DeSantis, who is the current governor of Florida, he ran for governor. He was a congressman. And with President Trump's help and a lot of our help, because I had gone down to South Florida, I moved there. Never let your children dictate to you or suggest you should move. I never should have moved to return to South Florida, because 2006 I came here from South Florida after I retired from the government. And never listen to your children about the relocating, folks, because I was down there. That changed so much. I thought I needed a visa and a passport down there. That's how much it had changed. So I came back to Alabama, where my people are, okay? And Governor DeSantis, as soon as he was sworn in, and I went to his inauguration, I was a guest, and the ball, and I took a couple of pictures with him, he and his beautiful wife. He fired the head of the election in Broward County, which is the Fort Lauderdale area, Miami-Dade County, which is the Miami area, and Palm Beach County. Okay, he fired them. Now, as you know, with the governor's election, he was running against this individual, and it wasn't settled that night because it was so much corruption. All right, and the difference is when this election happened on November 3rd, Florida was one of the first, second, or third states to report the results, because those individuals who headed that county election, they were gone. That's how much corruption they had in those three counties, folks. All right? And this is what needs to be done and must be done in every state in America right now. Because if not, we can forget it. We can forget it. And we'll talk about it more after the break. So we're getting ready to go into the first break, though. And we got a lot to talk about tonight. This is serious, very serious. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. We are so happy to be here tonight. And we have our first caller, and it's JR. JR, how are you doing there?
Hey, how are you, George? I've been listening to your show, and glad you included a piece by Dick Morris. Because you hit the nail right on the hip.
Great, great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from South Florida.
Wow.
And I don't think enough Americans really understand the effects of election rigging. And I would like to tell you how election rigging can destroy countries. Because I came from a country where election rigging was the order of the day. I know every facet of election rigging except voting machines, because back in the day, those were not available.
Right. But now, what country was that?
It's a little small country in the northeastern part of South America called Guyana.
Oh, yeah. I've been there a few times.
Yep. And as you know, it's a resource-rich country with less than 1 million people.
Right.
And because of election rigging, nothing ever got done. And the country was left by the British pretty good shape. And rigging of election under the guise of democracy made the country left in tatters.
Right. So in your opinion, this last election we had on November 3rd is compared to the election rigging in Guyana. Is that correct?
100%. Take it from someone that grew up. I never voted there because it didn't make a difference.
Right.
Because the elections were rigged.
Right.
100% that elections in this 2020 elections was rigged.
Okay.
And it started as even before Donald J. Trump took office as president.
Okay.
Because the media was biased to him before the election campaign, you know, before, while he was running, when
right.
they realized he was a serious candidate, they doubled down on him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
So what I can do, I can offer a perspective.
Okay.
From where I came from. And what I've seen in this election, and it bothers the hell out of me, because I never expected that I would ever see election rigging in this massive scale in the United States, which is similar to what happened in a third world country.
Wow.
And if you know in Africa and those countries, you know, election rigging is order of the day.
Yeah, I spent almost 6 years in
elections are rigged. People who are in power never have to work hard to deliver anything because they can win by rigging.
Right.
So you got bad economy, no jobs, bad health care, bad education, lots of crime. And if we are not vigilant in America and fight this rigging, we'll end up the same way.
Right. Right.
You know, the Democrats like to say that we want to practice democratic socialism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was Venezuela. They practiced democratic socialism. Michael Moore and all the leftists in Hollywood, they went down there and praised in democratic socialism that 75% or 85% of the people were now taken care of by the government. Today, 0% of the people are taken care of by the government. The government only take care of themselves.
Now, in your opinion, you know, we have this election, Reagan. In your opinion, would you say that some of those folks who came from countries like Guyana, third world countries, they come here and they end up doing the same thing? But would you say that? Some of them?
Most people from the third world countries that move here usually become Democrats.
Okay.
Some reason.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Pardon me?
I said I didn't know that.
Yes, most people from Guyana, I know that in the Caribbean, that move here are hardcore Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And while I can understand the left country, the Argentine democratic socialism or the practice of full scale, and the starter economy had the high crime or whatever, and had moved here. And when they moved here, they wanted to adopt the same system. They want the same system to live under,
right,
not realizing that America was a land of freedom. And it's freedom to choose that made America what it is today.
Okay. You know? Okay. I wonder why do they come here for a better life, okay? A better way of living, military type government or communist or socialist type government. I wonder why, and you said most of them become Democrats, but I wonder why would they want this country to be like the country they came from?
Well, they don't realize that America is sliding into that socialism that Britain went on. You know, Great Britain, United Kingdom, went on the same thing during the 60s with Harold Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
As prime minister,
mm-hmm.
all the left-wing people are out, strong union, and you know what? They destroyed the auto industry, both industries in the United Kingdom. Today, in the United Kingdom, there's not one brand name for cars that create the car industry in this world, like Jaguar Land Rover is owned by an Indian company called Tata.
Mm-hmm.
BMW owns Rolls-Royce, Bentley, and BMW owns Mini, and Bentley is owned by Volkswagen, and the Chinese own a host of all the older brands.
Mm-hmm.
So socialism wipes everything out. They double down the socialist thing with Michael Moore and all those limousine liberals. They double down on everything to get into power.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave. And they leave a totally ruined economy and industrial base. And that's what happened to England. That's what happened to Italy. These countries suffered a whole lot because of socialism.
Right.
And I've seen it here because as soon as Trump came into power, or even before while he was running, I saw the media, both private and PBS, mm-hmm. and all the taxpayer-funded media.
Mm-hmm.
They became mouthpieces of the Democratic Party. I would call them the Reagan Party. Before the elections, I never allowed them to dissent in view. You can put on PBS or wife to work in the morning and listen to National Public Radio, mm-hmm. and you would never hear conservative. You might have one of these Lincoln Project Republicans on who was against Trump. They'd put on, but they will never put on someone. George.
Right.
And the hard news was molded to support the rigors and the opposition. And you know what this happened.
You're not, are you speaking using your speaker phone?
No, I'm not. No.
Okay, because it's like an echo chamber. And sometimes it's very difficult to understand what you're saying.
Okay. No, I'm just, can you hear me better now?
Okay, that's a little better. One of my questions related to what you were talking about, the election rigging. I know that when I was stationed in Africa, I covered myself and my agents covered 40 countries from Nigeria. And boy, there was, speaking of Nigeria, just last year they had their national election. And let me tell you something. It was unbelievable how corruption made the incumbent president, how he got reelected. And it was nothing but corruption. And that's what reminds me here with this election. And do you see the same comparison?
I see exactly the same comparison. Mm-hmm. For example, the media in America, like the media in Africa and media where I came from, they would demonize all individuals and organizations opposed to the Reagan Party with salacious exposés, usually from unnamed sources. And you know what Trump went through. New York Times had published something that Trump said so about soldiers or did not want to hear anything about, you know, it's something really far out.
Mm-hmm.
And they would publish it in the front page. And then when they found out it was a lie, they would put a retraction on page 16 right next to the want ads or something like that.
Right. Well, look, JR, I appreciate your call. If you can, because there are a couple other things I'd like to discuss with you regarding this, and I'll hit on some topics with you and see what your opinion, because I think it's very important that our voters should know what individuals who were not born in this country, who have been in this country for a number of years, and how they see this compared to the country they came from. So can you stand by?
You got it.
All right, folks, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. I am George Williams, your host. And fortunately, we're on a call with JR. And JR was born in another country in Guyana, which is in South America. I've been there quite a few times when I was stationed in Brazil, and that was one of the countries that I covered. And JR is talking about this election. He's making a comparison between what's happening in this country right now and compared to what happened in the country that he came from, in Guyana. JR, thank you for calling in giving us this insight. Before the break, you were talking about something, and I cut you off to tell you about the break. And go ahead, continue. What do you think that should be done as a result of all this corruption and fraud in this election?
That biometric ID should be required for each and every voter in America.
Okay.
For example, Homeland Security wants real ID for people to present to the TSA before you go into an airplane.
Right.
Okay, you have to have this real ID to get in.
Right.
Why shouldn't you have your real ID to get into a voting booth? It's the most important, one of the most important aspects of American democracy.
Right.
But those who don't want real ID, even Nigeria and third world countries, they have good ID with thumbprint in order to get into the voting booth. It's only in America, I've heard, that no ID is necessary in some areas, in some states, especially where the rigging takes place, that they don't want any identification from voters whatsoever. And this is the first, this is a precursor to rigging.
Okay.
If you don't want to verify who voters are, you want to rig.
Right. And I know in other countries, like when I was serving in Africa and when I was serving in South America, if you were not a citizen of that country, you could not vote. You had to have. Matter of fact, you need for Brazil. I was there for almost 6 years. And in Brazil, you needed your ID to go to the bank and open up an account. You needed your ID for your driver's license to get on a plane and everything. And a lot of these countries have that. But here in the U.S., we have gotten away from that. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's one of the devices used by riggers and people who want a leftist authoritarian state.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to follow any laws that are free and fair elections.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Anyone who does not want real ID does not want free and fair elections.
Right.
And in the U.S., the Carter Center goes down to Guyana and says, oh, but free and fair elections. Yet we don't hear a peep from them about Georgia.
Right. Now, also, who is calling for no IDs in the United States? The Democrats.
And Democrats.
And the NAACP.
The court case, it always goes back to the Democratic Party and their operatives.
Right. Right. I know the NAACP and the some of the other Democratic organization, and they are a Democratic organization, okay, the NAACP, they require, when they have their yearly meeting, they require anybody who is coming into that facility to show ID. But they don't want, okay? They're fighting against showing ID for voting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's rigging. Election rigging.
Anyone who does not want ID, they want to rig.
Right, right.
Because I've seen it. I've grown up with this stuff.
Right.
And I've seen rigging ever since I was old enough to understand democracy.
Right.
I've seen rigging.
Right. Now, at one time, Guyana was a socialist, actually almost communist country, right? Because they followed the Russian, and they were very close to the Russians and the Venezuelans, Chavez over there, and China.
Well, those days it was Cold War,
mm-hmm.
and the guy that was installed there veered away from being anti-communist,
mm-hmm.
and started this big rush to communism. Nationalize the banks, the foreign banks, the bauxite company, a British company that was like a conglomerate in Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all ruined because the local communists and socialists, they don't know how to run anything.
Right. Right. Tell me, JR, what do you think about this Black Lives Matter?
All lives matter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell, I came from a country, we were all, you know, minorities per se. No one is going to come with a platter that represents a good life and give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work very hard for it,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the heroes of the left in America, shameful what they've done to good people of who were black in America. You know, one thing I've never heard from any Black Lives Matter or any personality on TV who is a proponent of a better life for black people, which is a good thing, is Dr. Vivian Thomas. He never went to college, but he's an honorary doctor, but he invented bypass surgery at Johns Hopkins. But I never heard anyone said, I wish my kid, grows up to be like Vivian Thomas. The people who are held in high esteem are the people who are martyred from after they have lived a life of crime, and it sends a really bad message to young black people or people of color in general in America.
Right, right. Now, do you have other family members who are here, who came here from Guyana?
My mom and, I have a couple of siblings here. And they're all distressed and disappointed with this result because, especially my mother, who lived through the bruteness of stolen elections and cannot understand how the heck it happened here in America, the number one country in the world that when you come into this country, you look on the left-hand side of the window going into JFK and you see the Statue of Liberty. That this country stands for liberty, except now liberty has been stolen. That she is extremely disappointed with this, the mail-in votes and the hand-delivered vote. Because in Guyana, people voted 10, 15, 20 times. And George, the states, they have the technology to make good voting machines because they all run the lotto program. The lotto program, they should give the companies that handle their lotto to do the voting. Don't give them to these other places, just the voting. Because the lotto, if you want to fill out the lotto tickets, you can take a pencil and you fill those little things out. And if it's not filled out correctly, it's rejected. A lot of companies, they have all that technology. Say you won. Say you bought a lot of tickets and you won. And they paid you. You win a few hundred dollars and they paid you. I said, good, I got a lot of tickets that's won.
All right. JR, we've got about 30 seconds before our...
I'm going to go to another shop and try to get it. You cannot cash that lotto ticket twice, and ballots should be made that way. Once it's going through the machine, it cannot be read again. And they can do it with a simple QR code.
All right. JR, we really appreciate you calling in.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, and feel free to call in again I think your opinion is very important, and especially you being born in another country. How many years have you been here?
Over 30 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, folks. We are talking to JR, and we appreciate him calling in, and very important. We appreciate it, JR.
All right. You take care, George. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. I really enjoyed my conversation with our caller, JR. I mean, it is so important to hear from someone who has come to this country, who's been here half their life, okay? And who is in the country they come from, he's seeing a comparison, okay, between this country and the country that he came from. And it's unbelievable. And folks, let me tell you something. I see it also. I spent a lot of years in the U.S. government. I'm retired from the Department of Justice. I was a federal agent. I'm retired as a military major. I'm a Vietnam vet. I've been all over the world. And South America, I spent almost 6 years. In Africa, I spent almost 6 years. And during that time in Brazil, when I first got to Brazil, they they had had a coup. You know what a coup is. A coup is when the military take over from a government. And in Brazil, it just so happened that the government was a leftist government, okay, which is compared to our Democratic Party. And the military didn't like it. So they had a coup, and they took over. And so I was there during the process of transition between the military and the civilian government. And in 1985, they went from a military government to a civilian government. And then after that, they had about three different leftist governments. And fortunately, they have a non-leftist government now with Bolsonaro. Okay, he is actually compared to President Trump. He didn't put up with any of that leftist and communist situations that are in other countries. And when I got to Nigeria, they had a coup again. I was there doing two coups. Okay, and a coup sometimes can be very violent. Okay. I think one of the most corrupt continent is the continent of Africa, okay? You know, although, you know, you got some in Southeast Asia, okay, which are very, very corrupt. But Africa is unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. You had one leader in Ivory Coast, they call it Côte d'Ivoire in French. He was like 97 years old. When he finally died, he had been in the government for over 40 years. They just don't, African leaders just don't want to give up their presidency because it's a lot of money and they become very rich. In Ghana, Jerry Rawlings, who was a lieutenant, flight lieutenant, and he took over the government. And he killed like four or five former presidents. And I think some like 30 people that they killed. They took them out and killed them. In Suriname, the same way. Bodache, that was a country I covered. They were all NCOs, sergeants and below. And he took the elected leader, and he took over the government. And I would go down there, do my liaison visits from Brazil. And believe it or not, they just got this guy out of office last year, Boutache. He's in, and I'm talking about in 82, 83. He took over in 82, and he took a lot of the high-ranking elected officials down into the basement on the military base, and he shot him. He killed him. And matter of fact, they just convicted him this past year, finally, for those murders, okay? Boudiché is his name. And I can tell you another thing that happened. when our guys got his number two guy, he was a major. Boudiché became a lieutenant colonel from a sergeant. And got him, and his number two guy became a major, and number three guy, Sergeant Major Zales, these were NCOs, and all of a sudden they made themselves officers. And our guys got his number two guy in Miami and arrested him because he said he would protect the shipments coming in from Colombia. And they... So doing my, I was scheduled to go down on a liaison visit after that. And I was warned not to go down because they wanted to kidnap me and hold me as hostage until the U.S. released the major. And so I didn't go down. And that's what happened. And then when they had his trial in Miami, they called me as a witness. There's so much I could tell you guys, but I can't because for security reasons. But that's what happened in Suriname, okay? Look, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want this country to become a third world country, okay? I grew up in Paterson, New Jersey, and now in Paterson, New Jersey, it's been taken over by, well, I would say this. I think 5 or 6 times a day you have the Muslims have the call for prayers, okay? And they authorized, since they have a Muslim mayor in Paterson, New Jersey, a Muslim police chief in Paterson, New Jersey, and I think 1 or 2 council people. When I was there, it was a great place, Paterson. I grew up there. Fantastic. Anyway, they have agreed to play the Muslim prayer 6 times a day, and it's loud all over the city of Paterson. It's loud. And so when the Muslim pray 5 or 6 times a day, and they, you know, I got used to this in Africa, listening to the Muslim prayer, and you have somebody, oh, daddy, I can't do it, but that, and that's a call to prayer. So every Muslim has to stop, and wherever they're at, they pray, okay? And this is what they're doing in Paterson, New Jersey. I was in South Florida, and I got really upset and surprised when they started. I was at Walmart, and over the PA system, it was in Spanish. This is America. This is America. I mean, why should we have, when the folks came here from Europe, they taught themselves English. This is an English-speaking country. Now, okay, in my country, we have to learn to speak someone else's language. When I prepared for Brazil, I had to go to school for a year to learn Portuguese and Spanish. When I went to Africa, I had to go to that same school, Foreign Service Institute, we call it FSI, for a year to learn French before I went to Africa. So we had to prepare. Okay. Now we have to learn their language in our country, which is an English language. Folks, this has got to change. That's why I'm so upset. I'm shocked. I'm sad about the results of what's happening. And then when you have somebody to use the Quran to take the oath of allegiance, if you're a congressperson, okay? What about the Holy Bible? We're in America. Folks, this has got to change, all right? All right, folks, enough of that right now because we're running out of time. And I think we only have about, what, 30 seconds, 15? No, that's it. All right, we'll be back next week, folks, so. Tonight I just spoke what's on my mind, okay? And I'll do that when I get that feeling. So until next week, everybody, Vicon Deus.